Hello, this is John Zifferman from physicalliving.com, and with me on the phone today is Jason Fitzgerald, who is a USA Track and Field Certified Coach, a 239 marathoner, and author of 101 Simple Ways to Be a Better Runner. Jason also owns and runs the website strengthrunning.com, where he teaches runners how to get stronger, stay healthy and injury-free, and race faster. Today we're going to be talking about how you can become a better runner by using the strength running methods. So welcome to the call, Jason, and thanks for being here today.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm looking forward to it. We just start by having you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you do, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, sure. So, again, my name is Jason, and, right now I'm in the Washington, D.C. area, and I'm a running coach. I'm the coach at strengthrunning.com, and, you know, that's my full-time position is helping runners reach their big goals, whether that's, a race goal or a certain fitness or weight loss goal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, excellent. Now, how did you get started as a runner, and why have you stuck with it so long? You know, what was the allure of that?
Well, I started running as a freshman in high school. I actually went out for the cross-country team because I heard that it was similar to track. And so I thought, oh, great, I'll be able to do the high jump. Now, if your listeners aren't familiar with cross-country, it's only running. It's not any of the fun field events like track and field. So when I showed up for the first day of practice and learned that all they did was run every single day, I was a little disappointed, to say the least. I really enjoyed the guys on the team, and we had a really fun time. And I think once I started seeing a little bit of progress, and I think this is true for all runners, once you start getting benchmarks with your fitness level and seeing certain times start to drop, it's almost this instant addiction, and you really, really start crave that kind of personal improvement, a race after race. So, that's how I started. It's kind of this unconventional start because I really didn't like running at all before that. But, it was something that I learned to love simply because I liked the improvement, and I think it's such a worthwhile goal to pursue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's so key, is finding something you enjoy doing that you identify with, that, like you said, you love doing, because then it doesn't seem like, quote-unquote exercise that's boring and a chore and no pain, no gain, and got to put in the time to get the results I want. It's something you do just because you like it, and all those benefits come anyways. And I think that's a critical distinction for helping people, stick with their goals of being healthier, of, living at their peak, So that's really cool.
It's funny you say now, that, because I never think of running as just exercise. I always think of it as, this is just what I like to do, and I'm going to go for my run today, and, I might be doing a long run or an easy run or a workout or whatever it happens to be, but, for me, it's just something that, it keeps me sane. I like to run because it's a stress reliever, and, it just makes me feel good. It's not something that, I think of as exercise, or I'm never thinking about the health benefits of running, even though they're significant. I'm always just thinking, oh, this is just so much fun. And I think no matter what you like to do, if it's running or if it's weightlifting or playing golf, whatever it is, if you really love to do it, then you should just keep doing it because it makes you happy.
Yeah, yeah. And some people, like they hear that and a light bulb goes off, and then all of a sudden it starts to make sense, why there's, in their view, why there's these certain crazy people who go out and run and, abuse their bodies, you know what I mean? And it just doesn't make sense to them until you explain to them, it's like, I just like doing this. I found something I love doing. And, it's not that I'm just one of these, fitness junkies or gym rats or something like that. It's just, this is what I like doing. And it opens up a whole new realm of possibilities, because it's in our physiology, just as human beings, to crave physical activity, movement, whether it's running or lifting weights or what have you. And so identifying a certain activity that you can do that you would do just because you like doing it, that's the make or break. That's what makes the difference between success and failure a lot of times. So Very cool.
Definitely.
Now you have a, you've been a runner since high school. Now you're a running coach. And you have a long list of running accomplishments. I mentioned in the intro that you've run a marathon in 2 hours and 39 minutes. But obviously you've had to accomplish a lot of things to get to that point and to achieve all the other things you have. If you had to choose just one of your achievements as a runner or as a coach maybe, which one would you say you're most proud of and why?
Well, I think, you kind of hit on my marathon, and I've had such a rocky relationship with the marathon. Now, I've only run two of them, and the first one was New York City, and, I was hoping to run about 240, and I ran 244, but I ran it the hard way. I went out a little too fast, and the last 6 miles or so, as cliche as it sounds, I hit the wall, and it was the most painful, 6 miles of my life. And so after that, I didn't do a marathon for 3 years just because I didn't want to experience that ever again. It was that bad. I finally got the itch again to do another marathon. So I ran Philadelphia in 2011, and I had a completely different race. I had much better training. This was sort of after I kind of figured out, the secret sauce, if you will, of really effective training. And, I didn't hit the wall at all during the Philadelphia Marathon. I reached my goal time. I ran 2:39, and I just felt good doing it. And that was that. That's something that I always look back on so fondly, not just because of the time, but also because of what I overcame in terms of my first marathon, and then the training and how well that went and how I felt on race day. So when I look back at my entire running career, the 2:39 marathon at Philadelphia was definitely my, my favorite and my most proud running memory. But in terms of coaching, it's totally different. I'm happy whenever I have a runner who runs a PR, and it's always nice to have runners run personal bests in their tune-up races, the races that they're not actually even training for. Recently I had a runner who's doing a marathon, and actually in about 2 weeks. And a couple of weeks ago, he ran a 10-mile race. And, I told him, I said, you're not training for a 10-mile race. It's much shorter. It's much faster. Let's be smart about your pacing. Let's prioritize the marathon in a couple of weeks. And just, keep in mind, you're not going to rest a whole lot before this race. And he went out and he ran, I think, about 3.5 minutes faster than his old PR, and about a minute faster than he thought he was going to run. So those kinds of surprise PRs are really, really gratifying to me as a coach, because, my athletes are just so excited about them because they didn't even think they were coming. So I get a lot of that, those kind of surprise PRs, and those to me are just super encouraging for my runners, and I really love it when that happens.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm a fitness coach, so strength and conditioning stuff mostly, and I train clients locally here in southern New Hampshire. And something I always tell them is that if you follow a good plan and put in a lot of effort, even if it's not a perfect plan, but a good plan, and you put in a lot of effort, those types of surprises in performance will be happening more and more often. And you're going to surprise yourself more often because that kind of effort just, it pays off. And so that's really cool to hear. And it's just a sign of, you're good coaching, and they're good effort, so good stuff. Now, in your opinion, what are the unique benefits that running offers compared to other forms of physical activity and recreation? Why would somebody choose to run as opposed to doing something else?
That's a good question. Even as someone who loves running myself, and I'm a running coach, I would never pretend to say, I would never claim that running is the perfect form of exercise. It is a very one-dimensional activity. Runners get very strong, in one plane of motion, and then they kind of neglect that side-to-side and rotational planes of motion, so they can get weak in those areas, and it doesn't work your upper body at all. So it's not perfect, but running is a fantastic, metabolic and cardiovascular type of exercise. it, you know, it is an impact exercise, so it will, you know, prevent, you know, that kind of bone loss that can happen in cyclists and swimmers because they're not doing any kind of load-bearing exercise. So, you know, there are those benefits. You know, I think over and above, you know, just the benefit, you know, the physical benefits of running, you know, if that's what you like to do, then you should do that. You know, if you're really interested in, you know, reaching your potential as a runner, or if you're really interested in kind of developing a very balanced, well-rounded training program, then there should be other things in your training besides running. You know, one of the things that I work with all my runners very closely on is, you know, strength exercises, different types of mobility exercises. Some of my runners do other types of cross training as well. And, you know, it all comes down to being a more well-rounded runner. You know, you don't want to totally neglect, you know, strength exercises or working your upper body. But, you know, in terms of just strictly its own benefits, you know, as a form of aerobic exercise, it's one of the best out there. And I think one of the few forms of exercise that burns more calories is like cross-country skiing. Because that's actually full body because you're using your poles. But other than that, you know, running can burn a tremendous amount of calories, so it's great for weight loss, especially if you're doing many different types of running. You know, you're not just running really easy. You're not running all of your runs way too fast, which can be problematic. But, you know, above all, I would say, you know, run because you like doing it, not because of its health benefits. And that goes true with anything that you really like doing. You know, whether that's cycling or basketball or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. I think that kind of idea of more broad-based, balanced fitness. So it's not just, you know, one-dimensional running, but it's training in the different planes of movement and trying to be more of a well-rounded athlete. I think that's I won't say it's unconventional, but it's not necessarily mainstream. It's kind of thrown in some of the mainstream running sources as an afterthought. It's like, you know, there's just this fixation on the right running program and going out and running as often as you can and getting the perfect running plan. And then, oh, yeah, do some cross training, too, and do a few stretches at the end, and you should be all set.
Yeah.
And
what I've found with a lot of the mainstream advice is that, you know, you can go online and you can find some training plans. For, you know, say you're training for a half marathon, you can find a training plan for that, but it will only include the running aspects of your training. And I think that's doing a huge disservice to the vast majority of runners because you can't just run. And I talk about this a lot at strength running. You know, you can't just run all the time and expect to stay healthy and prevent injuries and really become, you know, the best runner that you want to be because you're going to end up getting injured. If you're just doing running as your only form of exercise, you're going to develop some imbalances and some weaknesses in certain muscles that you're not using a lot. But yeah, the mainstream kind of running media, they really provide the workout progressions and some of the mileage levels that sure they might be appropriate, but you know they leave all of the other injury prevention work, dynamic warm-ups, strength workouts. They leave all that stuff totally up to the runner. You know, like they might have a huge section on their website about that, but they have no idea how to put those into their training plan. So what do they end up doing? They end up skipping it altogether. And then next thing you know, all these runners are hurt. So yeah, I think, you know, a well-rounded plan is absolutely critical. All the training plans that I write have, you know, additional strength and flexibility work in there because I think it's so important that you just can't leave it out.
Right. And I think that's really what, you know, distinguishes strength running from other running websites and communities that I visited is it is well-rounded and it pays attention to the little details that all matter when you add them up. It's, you know, it's not just about running. So that's really good. And I think it's a more modern, current, mature, if you will, perspective because, you know, in our exercise culture, we like to put things in a box. We like to compartmentalize different ideas. Okay, so going to the gym, and this is different from when I go for a run. and that's somehow different from my other day-to-day activities. And it all works together, or it should work together. And that's where strength running, I think, is different. So I love it. Now, when did you realize, you know, the true value that strength training has for runners?
I would say I really did learn it the hard way, and that was, like I mentioned, I ran the New York City Marathon, and I ran that without any, you know, physical problems, you know, besides hitting the wall and really slowing down significantly and it being a very painful race. I didn't have any injuries during the race, but about a week and a half later, when I started some easy running afterwards, I developed a case of IT band syndrome, and that lasted about 6 months, and I literally could not run for more than a minute and a half or 2 minutes without sharp pain at the side of my left knee, and that persisted for 6 months. I saw 4 physical therapists. I did countless hours of research online to try to get to the bottom of this, and that was really the spark that you know, ignited my understanding of the value of strength work. And it was also the spark that kind of started, you know, that made me start the blog Strength Running. So, you know, I did learn the hard way. I wish I didn't, but, you know, some people, me included, you know, you really need to, you know, get a good knock on the head to learn things correctly. But, you know, once you do start to implement that kind of strength work into your running program, the changes are, I don't want to say immediate, but they're very quick and they're incredibly apparent. You know, you start feeling the benefits almost right away. And, you know, since the New York City Marathon, which was 2008, when I started running again in 2009, you know, I haven't had a major running injury since 2009. You know, so we're coming up on 4 years now. And I've been able to train consistently through that because of, you know, the strength work that I do and some of the, you know, the training lessons that I've learned from that one race. So I learned it the hard way after getting a 6-month injury after the marathon.
Uh-huh. There's, like, this is so uncanny. There's so much that I want to respond to that one answer to that question, because your story is so similar to mine. Only you're much faster learning than I was. You know, I got injured running long distance, and I was in physical therapy for a little less than three years. Saw 6 or 7 physical therapists. Yeah, and I was booted out of physical therapy because my medical insurance plan got maxed out, and so I still wasn't better. And it was only, you know, after a while after that I discovered the strength training stuff can be used in the mobility stuff, and now the restorative aspects of exercise can be used to strengthen the body. And since 2009, I've been injury-free as a runner. That's just really funny that they got that coincidence. So
look at that.
That's really cool, because we have a similar story. I just, like I said, you learned a lot faster than I did. So that's good. Now tell me about strength running itself. You know, what is it, and what makes it unique from the other running resources out there from a resource standpoint? Because I know we've already touched on this a little bit.
Yeah, so, you know, Strength Running is my website where, you know, I coach runners either one-on-one, or I write a lot of totally custom training plans that are personalized to a runner's, you know, particular goals and schedule and fitness level and all that. And, you know, what I think really makes it different, and, you know, we talked a little bit about this before, is that, you know, I kind of try to touch on the entire training program as a whole and talk about all the different elements of good training. You know, it's not just running. It's injury prevention in the form of strength exercises. It's, you know, mobility work and flexibility and dynamic warm-ups, and, you know, there's so many different details of training and how you can tweak your training to get even more fitness out of, you know, the same run, or, you know, how to use hills to, you know, prevent injuries, and then also when to avoid hills because they can also cause different kinds of injuries. You know, it definitely depends on the runner. And so, you know, there's so much training advice that's out there, and it's not tailored to runners who want to get a well-rounded look at what training should look like. You know, and I have this post on my blog, you know, the worst marathon training advice I've ever seen. And, you know, I actually, you know, copied some advice that I've seen, you know, out on these major websites, and I put it on the blog for people to see. And it's just so random. And, you know, the advice is so general and nonspecific and not actually beneficial for marathoners. You know, like, go do 400s on a track. It's like, wow, what, you're a marathoner. There's very few instances when you would actually want to do 400s, and at what pace? You know, they don't even touch on what kind of pace you should be doing it or when you should be doing it in your training plan. So, you know, a lot of these very big running websites are, you know, I mean, they're based on page views, you know, so they're just trying to get as many eyeballs on their website as possible because they sell advertising. And so they kind of put out these generic articles that people are going to find in the search engines. They don't actually help runners, whereas my goal is really to provide actionable training advice that's going to help runners accomplish their goals. And, you know, I don't have any banner ads on my site, so I'm not really interested in how many page views I got last week or something like that. It doesn't affect, you know, my business at all. You know, what affects me is, are my runners getting faster? Are they staying healthy? Are they, you know, reaching their goals? Are they losing weight? Are they getting better shape? So those are things that I care about. And I think when you focus on what really matters, you know, those very measurable metrics like, you know, your personal best or, you know, like the last time that you had an overuse injury, when you focus on those things, then I think the training can be much more informed and much more actionable for most runners.
Mm-hmm. That's all exactly what struck me about your website and how it's different, because I've looked at the mainstream running websites, you know, over the last 10 years or so, and it's just like you said, you know, they it's all generic, and it only scratches the surface of what people really need. And, you know, when I read one of your articles, I'm going to get something from it that I can use, because it's, you know, you dive deeper into the subjects, and you kind of give your audience the tools that they need to succeed in any given subject area. So I like it. And that, you know, what you're saying, it comes through, you know, in your writing and in your videos. So cool.
Yeah, now, I mean, some of those articles are like, you know, almost 2,000 words long. And, you know, I don't think some of the bigger sites can handle those kind of articles. You know, they might have some of the big editorial articles that are that long, but, you know, those are more like stories. They're not training articles that, you know, you would read to inform, you know, your workouts or your 10K training or something like that. But, yeah, you know, whatever I can, I'm always trying to say to myself, okay, after reading this article, would a runner be able to look at their training and change something so that they can improve? And, you know, if the answer is no, then I know that I haven't really done my job in writing an article that gives you something actionable. And that's a word I always find myself using, is actionable. You know, can you take something and then go take action and change your training or update a workout or kind of improve your running in some way?
Right. That's what a good coach does. I mean, any trainer, any professional can write up a great program in 5 seconds, right? You know, it's what you do for work. You know, you come up with something in a few minutes probably for any client. But what matters more is, what can they do? What can they stick with? You know, how much can they comply with this advice? And so actionable is such a key method. It needs to be actionable. And that's just it. It shows that you have a more serious audience, is what it tells me, because a lot of the more mainstream stuff, that they're just used to spoon-feeding people content. You know what I mean? Short sound
bites. Yeah, you know what I call that? I call that running porn.
Yeah, exactly. It's instant gratification, and it doesn't really help people. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, I call it running porn. It's the stuff that you love to read really quick, and there are those quick articles, and then you're like, okay, what's next? And you just get trigger-happy with your mouse finger, and you go on to the next article, and then, you know, an hour passes, and you haven't really learned anything.
Right. It just doesn't help. So, Really cool. Now, in your opinion, what makes a great runner? I know it's kind of a general question. You could take it any direction. Feel free to just have at it.
Well, you know, I think anyone can be a great runner, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you are fast, however you kind of define that term. You know, it's reaching your potential, whatever that may be. You know, a lot of people look at me and think I'm fast. Well, I have friends who are a hell of a lot faster than I am, and, you know, there are people that think I'm quite pedestrian, you know, with my 2:39 marathon. You know, that's the thing with running. It's very, very personal. It's very relative. So if you can, you know, train and run and enjoy yourself for a couple of years or, you know, even longer than that, maybe 5-10 years, and see consistent progress and, you know, keep getting faster all the while, having fun doing it, you know, I think that you've turned yourself into a great runner. That doesn't necessarily mean you're, you know, qualifying for the Olympic trials or anything like that, but, you know, you need to look at relatively how are you doing as a runner. Now, if you're constantly injured and you never make any progress, well, you know, you need to maybe change some things and see where you can improve so that you start getting better. But, you know, being a great runner is about, you know, knowing your own body and what you're capable of doing, and then making sure that your training allows you to run consistently and see consistent progress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great way to describe it. I'd say I'd only add to it, you know, a great runner is somebody who consistently achieves their goals, whatever that means to them, you know, whether it's a 10-minute mile or a 5-minute mile, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you said it a lot better than I did. You kind of summed up everything in one little sentence.
Well, you already told me what to say, so. All right, now in your experience as a running coach, do most people really need to relearn such, like, fundamental skills like how to run, trot, sprint? And if so, why do you think that is?
I think most runners have, you know, the general mechanics of running pretty good. You know, and I've coached so many runners, and I've only once requested that a runner videotape themselves running and send me the video because they were having some problems. And I wanted to see if their form, there's something going on with their form. But, you know, for the most part, I think most runners with a few very simple tweaks have, you know, both jogging and running at a more moderate pace pretty well, you know, they're good at it. You know, it gets, I think, a little more problematic when you ask people to sprint because, you know, if you didn't play a sport in high school or college, you probably haven't sprinted, like really sprinted, since you were like 12 years old, like out playing with the neighborhood kids outside and you're playing like half of the flag or some fun neighborhood game. So, you know, if you're trying to run and you're, sorry?
Which kids these days don't do. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're totally right. Yeah, instead they're playing, you know,
that's what we did when we were kids.
Yeah, we spent all of our time outside. But, you know, then they start running at, you know, say age 40, and, you know, it's been 30 years since they've sprinted, and they have no idea, like, what it feels like anymore or what the effort level is supposed to feel like or how to kind of control their body when they're exerting that level of effort. And, you know, sprinting is a very technical type of running. And, you know, I hate to kind of divide types of running, like you're jogging and then there's moderate running and then there's, like, fast. I don't like doing that. But sprinting really is. It's very ballistic. It's very plyometric. It's a skill. It really is. So I usually like to introduce it very gradually and very slowly into any training program. And, you know, I have runners who are training for marathons, and once a week they're doing some variation of very short but maximum effort sprints. And, you know, I think it's super beneficial, but, you know, it's something that it sometimes has to be relearned for some runners. It really depends on the athlete and their history with running and other sports too, but that's the one, you know, kind of speed of running that I feel like most runners are unfamiliar with, and it needs to be relearned just a little bit.
Right, right. you know, something I tell my clients is that, you know, the higher level of performance, that the higher the level of performance that you want to perform at, the more important your technique matters, or the more important your technique is.
That's right.
You know, so if you want to increase speed or increase volume, you know, for running, you know, if you want to run every day, the details of your technique matters a lot more than if you're just going to run once or twice a week. You can kind of get away with, you know, a little bit sloppy on a foot strike here or there if you're running once or twice a week. But over time, you know, if you're doing that several times a week, every day, even almost every day, that's going to build up. That's going to accumulate into a problem eventually. So,
yeah, and, you know, running injuries, the technical term is a repetitive overuse injury. And that's because, you know, for people who are doing a lot of running, you know, that's what it is. It's very repetitive, and you're overusing something. So, if you're not doing it every day or five or six days a week, it's really hard to get a repetitive overuse injury. But I completely agree. It's you know, the more and more you're doing something, or the harder and harder the effort level is, so the more technical, you know, either the lift in the gym or, you know, the fast workout that you're doing at the track, whatever that is, you really need to make sure that your form is good. Now, with that said, it's actually really interesting that when you sprint, it's actually harder to have bad form. Sprinting reinforces good form just because you can't really, like, reach out your leg and aggressively overstride and heel strike while you're trying to run as fast as you can. And then high-volume running, so if you're, let's say you're running 50 miles a week or 60 miles a week or more, you know, that actually forces your body to find a more economical running stride. So it improves your efficiency just by running a lot. But yeah, you absolutely need to start with good form, not necessarily perfect, but good form right from the beginning if you're going to take your training seriously, whether that's running or anything else.
Right. I look at it as all, it's one big spectrum of risk to benefit, you know, because none of us can ever truly run with, you know, 100% perfect technique. There's always going to be little issues because we have all of aches and pains and a lifetime of issues in our bodies. But, you know, what's the risk? You know, is what you're doing a high enough risk to warrant you not doing it? Yeah, maybe not. I think that has to be addressed on a case-by-case basis. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I can agree more with that.
Now, what's one training tip, technique, or strategy that most of the people you know don't use, but you think would be a great addition for many people? I'm sure there's probably 1,000, but if you had to pick one to share today, you know, something that's actionable, I guess, is what I'm looking for.
Okay. All right, let me see. Something that I was talking to a runner about recently was this concept of sandwiching your runs. And this simply means that, you know, just like in a, say, a chicken sandwich, you have your chicken and you have the chicken being sandwiched by the roll. Okay, on either side, there's a piece of bread. Now, you want to do the same thing with your runs. Before you go running, you should do a warm-up. And the best type of warm-up is a dynamic warm-up that includes some mobility work and, you know, maybe some light strength exercises, like different types of lunges, for example. And then when you're finished with your run, you should do a warm-down. And this isn't running. This is like some core work, some strength exercises, maybe some additional mobility or flexibility drills. And, you know, the warm-up helps you prepare for running, and then the strength routine after you run helps you develop the strength you need to stay healthy during those runs. You know, it corrects some imbalances or works on the weaknesses that running inevitably tends to cause. And, you know, overall, it helps you cool down from that workout a lot better. And, you know, it can reduce soreness, and it's just you know, the ideal way to really train is to do some work beforehand and some work afterward. And so if you're really, if you're sandwiching all of your runs with even just 5 to 10 minutes of, you know, both a warm-up and a warm-down, some bending and stretching and then some core and strength work, then you're going to be hands down far and above other runners when it comes to injury prevention and just feeling better on all of your runs.
Mm-hmm. No, I love that strategy. I think, you know, something I just thought of is, you know, in a way, sandwiching your runs with, you know, a good warm-up, warm-down, including some strength work, some mobility work, it's a way of counteracting that repetitive stress, that overuse issue that comes from running. And so it's not just to warm you up and cool you down. It's to build a more balanced body and become a better runner as a result, because if you don't have your health, if you don't have basic strength biomechanically, then you can't be a good runner. You know, you kind of need those things like health. What I mean.
Yeah, yeah. These little actionable tips, you know, God, I have so many of them. It's really hard to give you one, but I think that one encapsulates two. You know, there's do a warm up and then there's do some strength work afterward. If you do the sandwiching of your runs, then you're accomplishing so many other benefits of doing both of those things that you'll start to see some results really quickly.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, I know, man. I've seen it in my own life and on some of my clients, and it's the truth, man. It works.
Really beneficial.
Yeah. Now we already touched on this earlier, so we can just move on to the next question if you want. But the next question is, what do people need to know about running that they're not getting from the mainstream running media? Besides everything, right?
Not that a lot of those sites aren't good. You know, I think there's some really valuable information there. It's just a little bit scattered, and a lot of the articles are kind of fluff pieces. But you know, there's that, coming back to that concept of balanced and well-rounded. You know, I actually just wrote an article on strength running about, you know, the three training pillars of my coaching philosophy. And, you know, the first one is, endurance. It's basically every runner should be working on boosting their aerobic fitness. But the other two is where, you know, a lot of runners may get some confusion, and that's with injury prevention and also variety. Now, variety is the one where there's like 50 little details, but, you know, the overall concept is that, you know, to encourage you to get faster and to develop more fitness, you need to introduce more variety in your training, and that goes from anything from training for different types of races. So, you know, you can't be your classic two marathon a year type of runner and always be in marathon training, because then you're missing out on those unique fitness adaptations that you get when training for a 5K. Even just last year, like, I did a duathlon, I ran a warrior dash, like, I did all kinds of fun races just because, you know, it helps keep you fresh mentally and physically.
Can I jump in here? Sorry, I hate to cut you off, but when he says he went and did a warrior dash, he won the warrior dash. There were like 8,000 people, and he just showed up one day, like, yeah, I'm just going to run this little race, and he beat everybody. So he beat 8,000 people in the warrior dash. So proceed, carry on.
Yeah, that's true, John. Thank you. it was a lot of fun. It's not anything that I was really expecting, but we had a blast. There's different races. There's different terrain. You know, if you always run on the track or the treadmill, you're missing out on getting off-road and doing some trail running and doing some hills. You should be rotating a couple pairs of shoes just to give your body different types of, stresses. Your feet and lower legs get a little bit of a different stress when you're wearing a different type of shoe. So, you know, my thinking is that it's beneficial to wear several types of shoes to cut down on the repetitiveness of what your body is always experiencing. And then you go into paces. Okay, well, you're running the same pace for all of your runs every single week, week after week. You know, you're going to get in a lot better shape if you have some really easy runs and then you have some faster runs and you're doing some, like, really hard workouts. Maybe you're doing strides or hill sprints or something to really challenge your body. But everything's done, in a really logical, well-planned way so that you're not overly tired or fatigued, of course, but, you know, you're implementing these different pieces in your runs, which is really important. So, you know, to shorten this answer a little bit, is that, you know, variety and injury prevention and all the kind of things that, you know, we've been talking about with strength and mobility and flexibility, there's that whole training philosophy that I think is missing from some of the main websites that are out there that most runners go to for running information. So, you know, when you can get one source of running information that has one unified training philosophy behind it, instead of having a site with 150 different contributors, and they all think different things, and you go to their site, and after 2 hours, you're just more confused than when you got there. You know, that's kind of what happens all the time when you go to these bigger websites, and that's something that I'm always trying to avoid when I write for strength running.
Now, I mean, I guess what I'm, you know, if I read behind the lines of what you're saying here, you know, what you're telling me is that, you know, there's obviously, there's a million things people can do to be a better runner, to, you know, actionable things that they can make a change and see better results. And you know, what I'm also kind of hearing is that, you know, almost anybody can get by, you know, just running once in a while, you know, being casual about it. But in order to be a good runner and a great runner, the details start to matter. And all these little tips and techniques and strategies help contribute to that and make that a real possibility, because a lot of people get injured running and can't run anymore, or can't run like they would like to anymore. And it's, in my experience, people I've talked to, it's because they're neglecting one of these major key principles about training.
And it's not just for, you know, we're always talking about, you know, these things are important for good runners or great runners. You know, I want to be clear that it's not necessarily for faster runners. You know, I coach some runners that, you know, are, for lack of a better word, kind of slow. And, you know, that's okay. You know, these same training principles work if you're running 2 hours and 15 minutes for the half marathon, or, you know, an hour and 30 minutes for the half marathon. So it's not necessarily, you know, whether you're, you already have a Boston qualifying marathon time or some other fairly competitive time. You know, these work for anyone. It doesn't matter what your ability level is. It's just that when you start putting them all together, you know, you will start seeing personal improvement at a much higher rate, dramatic improvement, than if you kind of just, you know, try everything and you're not really, you know, sure what you're doing. You're kind of putting together your own training plan, and you know, there's no progression in your plan. You know, one of the things that I recently talked about on the blog was what I call the try everything, try nothing approach. And this is when runners cobble together a training plan from 7 different sites, and there's no progression in their plan, and they're trying every single type of workout that they've found online and all these different training strategies, when there's no kind of unified philosophy behind what they're doing. You know, everything is just kind of mashed together, and so there's no progression. And so they've tried everything, but at the end of the day, they're not going to see any improvement because they're essentially trying nothing, because they're not doing it in, you know, an informed way.
Right, they haven't stuck with something long enough to see, you know, measurable or trackable results. I hear you, man.
And, yeah, there you go.
And when you were talking earlier about slower runners, my hand was raised. And I'm still, you know, I'm not a high performance runner. I don't have any impressive records, but I love running, and that's why I keep running. And the only way that I've been able to keep running after my injury history is because I've been doing these things you're talking about. So they do work, even, and they're relevant, and I'd say important and essential even for the recreational runner. So really good stuff. I'm enjoying myself. We're already like 45 minutes into this, which I can't believe.
I can geek out on running stuff all day long if you want.
I've got time, you know, so we can blast through the rest of these questions if you'd like, or we could split it into two parts. It's up to you.
We could keep going.
Okay, great. All right, I like that. Man of action. All right. Next question. What are some of the biggest mistakes people make with their running programs that you see?
Well, yeah, we kind of talked to this a little bit. You know, it's really the issue of only running. That's one of the bigger issues I see is, you know, runners who start running and they have a goal, whether that's maybe finish a 10K or improve their half marathon time, and all they're doing is running. And, you know, maybe 4 weeks down the road they get hurt. And that's just because they're not doing anything else. They're not doing any strength exercises. They're doing no warm-ups. You know, they might be doing one, just running 5 miles 3 times a week. You know, they're not doing any long runs. They're not doing any workouts. They're not doing any strides. So there's just a complete lack of strength work, and then also any kind of variety in their running program.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that's one of the most obvious, it's very common is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's just common. I see it a lot.
Yeah. I also think, at least in my case, my biggest problem was ignoring all the little warning signs that my body was telling me that you're running too often, you're running too fast, you're ignoring these little pains in your knees and things like that. And so we tend to be stubborn, I think, in general, us runners, and just want to keep running because we love it so much. And sometimes
that's true. You know, I could probably think of a lot of different things. You know, another big one is that a lot of runners don't have any patience. If they start running later in life, they might have spent 20 years getting out of shape, and then they want to spend 2 weeks getting in shape. And it doesn't really work like that.
Yeah.
You know, being patient with both your fitness and what your body is ready for is so super important. So you just have to really respect that running is stressful. You know, you're not only on your feet, you know, for 20, 30, 40 minutes, however long you're running, but now, there's a lot of impact. Every single foot strike, you're putting 2 to 5 times your body weight down on your legs. So you need to make sure that you're strong enough to handle that, and that, you know, you give yourself enough recovery in between your runs to be able to rest in between hand.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's just, you know, we see these problems. It's just symptoms of our modern day culture. We're just disconnected from our sense of physicality, and we're not healthy as a culture anymore. We have bodies with pre-existing conditions, whether it's a full-blown injury or just an ache and pain or just tension or limited range of motion or something like that. Nobody's a blank slate. And so when they start doing something new, we like to push our limits and see what we're made of, and that's when problems happen because we have pre-existing conditions, and we have to go about addressing those in a smart way. And we don't like to because we're impatient. Know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, what are – and some of these questions might get repetitive because I picked them all out before we started talking, so we can just scoot right through if we have to. But what are some simple changes a runner can make to improve their performance? You know, if they're going for – you know, better race times, for instance.
Okay. I'll keep this one really simple. Run more. Most runners aren't running enough. You know, they think that they can keep PRing on 20 miles a week, for example. But, you know, you should always try to be running a little bit more than what you have, you know, in the past. And you should also think, you know, from training cycle to training cycle and also from year to year. So, you know, simply by running a little bit more, then you can still continue to see a lot of progress year after year. And that's because most runners don't have a speed problem. You know, like most runners can run 6-minute mile pace for 20 seconds, maybe 30 seconds or a minute or whatever. But holding that pace is where it gets difficult. So that's an endurance issue. That's an aerobic fitness problem. So by running more, by doing longer long runs and just running more frequently, you know, the whole, all the components of, you know, running higher volume or higher mileage, that is one of the biggest things that you can do in your own training to see more results is just run more.
That reminds me of something I read. It was a book written a while ago called Long, Slow Distance. Can't remember the author's name, which kills me because I sent him an email and he responded back to me, which I felt like I was talking to a celebrity for a minute. But one of the things that he wrote in his book was that in order to be a great runner, a strong runner, you need to run as often as possible, but never to exhaustion, never to real serious fatigue. And if you want to be if you want to be a good runner, you need to become a strong runner, and you do that by increasing your mileage. You know, running almost daily if you can, and really pushing that, but going about it in a smart, systematic way, like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, that's some really good advice. I mean, you know, you can always look at elite runners and just take some lessons from what they're doing. Not that what they're doing is always the best, and certainly it's not something that all of us should try to model because, you know, almost by definition, elite runners are kind of freaks of nature. But you know, just the way that they train, you know, they run 12 or 13 times a week, which means they're running twice a day, you know, 5 or 6 days a week. You know, they might have one easy day and then their long run where they only run once a day. But, yeah, it definitely further reinforces your point that you have to run as much as possible if you really want to see the improvement that you're looking for. Of course, don't run twice a day, 6 days a week. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it, you know, it reinforces the point that, you know, if you really want to see that improvement, it's helpful to run a little bit more than what you have in the past.
Right, right. I think there's, you know, it's not magic, but it sometimes feels like magic when you just, you push you go right to your edge, but no further. You know what I mean? You push your limits a little bit, and then all of a sudden you can push your limits a lot more. But you have to be progressive and gradual about it. And if you're not, it's going to be your own undoing. So preach on the choir, man. all right, so we already sort of talked about how strength training is really important for runners, but could you, I guess, just talk about how somebody who doesn't really have any experience with fitness or strength training, how could they get started doing that if they are a runner and they want to benefit from it?
Yeah, I would say that the easiest way to introduce strength training into your running program is just to do some simple body weight exercises. You know, you don't need a gym membership. You don't need a home gym in your basement with a lot of weights. But doing some simple moves like, you know, you do body weight squats and the plank and push-ups and different types of lunges. And, you know, you can look online, and there are a lot of different resources like this. You know, I have several free body weight strength routines available on my website that people could look at. Or, you know, my friend Steve Kam at nerdfitness.com has a ton of body weight routines that he makes available on his site. It's not necessarily the exact sequence and order of exercises that you do that's really important. It's more important to do something rather than nothing. So, you know, for 10 minutes, do, you know, 6 to 8 different exercises. Maybe repeat them twice. And, you know, a really simple routine like that is a great introductory way to begin strength training for most runners.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've given that same exact advice myself. You know, in the beginning, the details don't really matter that much. It's what's important is that you do it. You find something that's simple enough where you can figure it out, and you do it. And anybody who's looking for bodyweight training advice or other strength training advice, it's a great website by a guy named John Zifferman, physicalliving.com. Got some of that stuff there. So just
I heard you have some of that available.
I do. I'm just giving myself some free publicity.
There you go.
Now you mentioned that, you know, that's a great basic routine, but it's not necessarily the perfect or near perfect routine with the specifics that are great for runners. Do you find that certain types of strength training are preferable for runners in particular?
Yeah, I think there are certainly problem areas that most runners have, and this kind of goes back to the fact that running is fairly one-dimensional. You're only moving, forward. You're not moving side to side like you are in basketball, so you develop these weaknesses and imbalances. And when they go unchecked, they can contribute to a lot of overuse injuries. So the types of strength work that work best for runners are exercises that focus on the hips and the glutes, particularly the hips. They've been implicated in so many different running injuries, from IPBS, IP band syndrome, which is what I had after my first marathon, to runner's knee. Yeah, it's a very
common
injury.
I had that one.
I've had almost every running injury except runner's knee.
You would be both, buddy.
Yeah, for some reason, that's what I've been able to avoid. But, you know, even Achilles tendonitis, something that you wouldn't think would be impacted by hip strength, but it is, because the hips are where most of your force is initially generated during your running stride, so that if you have weak hips, it affects the entire chain. And you develop all these inefficient movement patterns that go down your entire leg, and over the course of thousands and tens of thousands of steps, in your weekly running, you know, that's how injuries can happen. So, you know, there are some really simple exercises, you know, like clamshells or, you know, side leg raises that you do lying down on the ground. You know, these are all things that you could do in a cramped hotel room. You know, they don't take a lot of space or, you know, a lot of time. And, you know, when I got healthy from my IT band injury, you know, using my time with all those physical therapists and all of the research that I did on the injury, I did create this, what I cleverly called the ITB rehab routine. And it focuses on the hips and the glutes. And this is the routine that helped me, in addition to a couple other strategies, get healthy from my big injury. And it's, you know, one of my most popular posts on strength running for the simple reason that it works. You know, like, so many runners have, I think I have like 180 comments or something mind-blowing like that. And a lot of runners have used it to get healthy from IT band syndrome. But, you know, I kind of regret calling it that because it's not specific to IT band syndrome. You know, you can use it if you've never had a problem with your IT bands because it focuses on the two major muscles that contribute to most overuse injuries. So I think all runners should be doing this. And, in fact, I do use this routine with all of my runners, whether or not they're healthy or, you know, if they have an injury that's not related to their IT band at all. So in terms of specific exercises, you know, it's those exercises that work the hips and the glutes, I think, are the most important for runners because of their injury prevention potential. So, yeah, if anyone's listening and really wants to see the IT band routine, you know, just go search it on ITB rehab routine on Google or strength running. It's it takes about 10 minutes and it's just really it's really effective.
Mhm. Mhm. It's so cool too because it's like when you explain that to people, it's like a light bulb goes off for them that I can fix this problem myself. You know, I don't need my doctor to inject me with cortisone shots.
Yeah, that stuff doesn't really work.
Oh, exactly. It's a painkiller, basically.
Yeah, it kind of treats the symptoms but not the root cause of the injury. So, you know, if you keep running, you're going to keep getting hurt, which every runner doesn't want to have happen.
Right, right. Yeah, and, you know, the way I explain it to people is that, you know, like we mentioned before, most of the common injuries in runners and in fitness trainees in general are overuse or repetitive stress injuries, something that we did to them to ourselves through movement, too much movement, too fast movement, poor quality movement, something like that, some problem with the movement. And so if you start training with good movement to compensate and address those issues, chances are there's a good chance you could get better, and you won't necessarily need a whole team of medical professionals. And I'm not saying people who are listening, don't take this the wrong way. I'm not saying if you're have an injury that you shouldn't consult your doctor and physical therapist and your whole medical team, you should. But sometimes when it's just an ache and pain, or sometimes exercise can help a lot more than we give it credit for. So be open to that possibility, I guess is what I'm trying to say. All right. Speaking of which, are there other types of cross training that are particularly valuable for runners? I mean, you've talked about strength training. I don't know, cycling, swimming, maybe that's why they put in a triathlon. What do you think about other forms of cross-training?
Yeah, so the other forms of cross-training are beneficial for a different reason. So my two favorites are cycling and pool running. And they're beneficial because, you know, they help get you in better aerobic shape. They increase your endurance. And they're also very specific to running. You know, you're moving your legs in a very similar way that you do while you're running. You know, unlike swimming, which is a great cardiovascular workout, but it's not very specific to running. So a lot of those fitness benefits don't transfer as well to your running as, you know, say, cycling or getting in the pool and doing some pool running. So, you know, those two types of cross-training can be beneficial to keep you to keep you in good shape while you're hurt, if you're rehabbing from an injury, or as a supplement to your regular running to kind of boost your fitness over and above what you'd normally be able to do out running. So you can use it in addition to running when you're healthy, and you can use it to help keep yourself in shape when you're hurt.
Cool. Yeah, honestly, I've, I've seen pool running before, but I've never really, like, I guess I never heard that it was a thing, you know, until now. So that's, I mean, it's a cool idea. This is new to me. I'm probably the only person on planet Earth who is learning something about pool running right now, but that's okay.
With one word of caution, that it's very boring.
I guess so. It's kind of like running in slow motion, I would assume.
Yeah, you're running and you're barely moving at all. So most runners should use a flotation belt when they're in the pool doing some pool running, like an aqua jogger, because your form suffers if you're not wearing it. You have to keep up a very fast cadence or, rotation per minute under the water with your legs. But, it's really boring. I did it for about 2 hours a day for a week when I was in college. And, I mean, I smelled like chlorine for an entire week, which was awful. But other than that, like, it's just, some people think running is boring. Like, get in the pool and be a swimmer or do a lot of pool running. I think that's even more boring because it's almost worse than the treadmill.
Yeah, well, maybe Michael Phelps might disagree with you, but I hear what you're saying, man. I definitely do. All right, well, I want to talk about injuries and injury prevention, because that's a really big theme in strength running. So why do you think so many runners get injured? I mean, I've seen statistics from all sorts of different sources, and I don't know if any one of them is accurate or not, but, I mean, anywhere from, like, 50 to 90% of runners get injured or are injured, or, a staggering number of people who run get injured. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I've seen the injury rate anywhere from like 50 to like 75% of runners, which is insane. And it's higher than professional football. But, I think you actually answered this question earlier when you said that runners have a tendency to push themselves too hard, too soon. And that's exactly why we get hurt, is because we think we can do more than we actually can. And in our never-ending quest to become better runners, we always think that more is better. So we're always doing longer runs, faster workouts, and we try to run more and do it too soon before we're ready. So I think that's just the number one reason that runners get hurt. So, you need to kind of rein in your enthusiasm when it comes to your training and really take a good look at your current fitness level and what you're capable of doing, and then only doing a little bit more than that very gradually, and then, coupled with some strategic strength work and warm-ups and some other training strategies, you can stay healthy.
You're not allowed to do that. You're supposed to answer the questions, not let me answer them, but I'll excuse it this once.
You're doing a good job over there. I can't even help it.
All right, so for anybody who's listening, if that's you, and trust me, we know it's you. We all know it's you, and we don't even know who you are, but I know it's me. I'm the type of guy who loves to do too much too soon, and so if that's you also, I guess the actionable thing to do is not just to think about it, but to do some self-evaluation and say, if that's really me, then maybe I should back off in a few different ways, maybe cut the total mileage for now and build up to it again slowly, or reduce speed, or do some more of the recovery-based training, some of the strength training. So just keep those motor neurons thinking, everybody who's listening. So I want to keep talking about this because this is a really important subject. And we already touched on this before, but do strength training and injury prevention really go hand in hand?
Yeah, for runners, I think you can't have injury prevention without strength training. And I know that we've talked so much about this before, sandwiching your runs, and doing a little bit of strength training after every single run, I think, is a good idea. It doesn't necessarily have to be difficult, but, yeah, it's absolutely critical to staying healthy.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are some other methods for injury prevention, besides strength training and mobility? What else can people do to, go the extra mile? No pun intended.
Well, there's the whole idea of not doing, avoiding the three twos, too much, too soon, too fast. And that's always difficult to tell people because they're like, well, what the hell does that even mean? I never know if I'm doing it too fast or, too soon. In the interest of staying actionable, an injury prevention strategy that I really like are hill sprints. And hill sprints are really short, maximum effort sprints of a steep hill. And they sound really hard, but you only do them for about 8 to 10 seconds, and you take a minute and a half or 2 minutes of walking rest in between each hill sprint. And the reason that hill sprints are so beneficial for injury prevention is that it's the most running-specific form of strength training that you can do. Because you're moving so quickly up a steep hill, you're recruiting as many muscle fibers as you possibly can if you're going hard enough, and you should be. You're at the fastest that you could possibly go. So it's just like, it's very, very similar to strength training, just like a squat or a deadlift. And that's very protective of injuries because you're developing a lot of stride power and a lot of, very subtle efficiency gains in your stride when you're doing these max effort sprints. So as long as you do the first couple hill sprint workouts, very sort of cautiously, because there is a little bit of a risk with hill sprints because you are sprinting up a hill, you could strain something. But once you get beyond those first couple workouts, these types of sprints can be very protective and they can help you, get through your training without injuries, and they can help you, stay healthy for an entire training cycle. There's actually a really good article on running times by Brad Hudson. He coaches some elite runners. So there's a great article on running times by Brad Hudson about hill sprints. So I suggest you guys any listeners should just Google it and read that full article. It's really, really good.
Okay, great. Now, when you make suggestions, you definitely don't beat around the bush because hill sprints are definitely not easy. But I hear what you're saying. It kind of grooves good technique and gives you a lot of the subtle efficiency improvements, like you said, to kind of promote injury prevention.
I could have had 100 different suggestions for that question, but that's
right.
That's one really specific injury prevention method that works. But it's also really fun. It's kind of fun just go to a hill and sprint up it really fast for 8 seconds, and then hang around for 2 minutes, and then do it again.
Yeah. What am I made of? How fast could I get up that hill if I really had to? Flash flood or rabbit dogs or sale at Walmart. You never know. So I think what I'm kind of hearing is that all of this stuff is supposed to work together. There's an endless supply of strategies and methods and tips, but when you put it all together and you integrate all these different elements, it kind of creates this synergy, I guess is the word I'm looking for, and that is what contributes to being a healthy, strong, high-performing runner, whatever high-performing means to you. Is that accurate?
Yeah, definitely. Training is everything matters. As I'll quote Brad Hudson one more time. He's famous for saying everything matters because it's all used together. And what you do after your run today might influence what you can do tomorrow during your running workout. So it's all definitely really important.
Mm-hmm. Now, in kind of a similar thread, what role does recovery play in a runner's training toolbox, and what would be some of the most important or effective recovery methods that a runner could employ?
Well, first and foremost, it's ensuring that you're not doing workouts that are too advanced for you. If you need so much recovery that, you're unable to do, the next workout a day or two later, then recovery is not your problem. The workout itself is your problem. So if that's not your problem, so if you're doing workouts that are appropriate to you, you still want to make sure that you're recovering adequately in between. And the most important thing for you is sleep, hands down. And I know in today's world, everyone skips their sleep, but, you actually break yourself down every time you go running. And it's when you're sleeping that most of the repair and recovering occurs. So if you're skipping your sleep, you're kind of preventing your body from adapting to the workout that you just did earlier in the day. So sleep is the most critical way of recovering from your workout and getting faster. That's when you get faster. It's actually when you sleep. That's when your body makes all those changes that you're looking for, like, the speed and the strength and the endurance. So if I have one suggestion to people, it's get more sleep.
Mm-hmm. I like how you kind of hit the nail on the head in the beginning when you said don't don't do things that are outside of your ability. Don't cause a problem, an unnecessary problem from the start. You know, bring it back down to your level, and then, you know, progress incrementally, gradually, et cetera. So that's really good advice. I would second the sleep, because it's something we tend to overlook in our culture and say, oh, I'll sleep when I'm dead, and it's just all this stigma associated with it. But it's critical, and if somebody neglects it over time, it's going to really start to add up and problems happen. So good advice. All right, I've got a few more questions here. What is something you wish you knew about running when you were younger and still just getting started? I'm sure you've got a ton of answers to this question. I know I do, and I'm not a running coach. So take it away.
Yeah, I actually wrote a post that is still, I think, my number one, like, most popular post, like, seven things I wish I knew when I started running. But, you know, I guess I'll just choose one, and that's, any kind of improvement that you want to make with running takes a lot of time. So patience is the one lesson that I would go back in time almost 15 years ago and tell myself, you know, you're not going to be able to run, you know, the high mileage weeks that you think you're going to be able to a year from now. It's going to take years and years and years and a lot of trial and error. So be patient and make sure that you're doing a little bit more than what you've done in the past, but not so much more that you're putting yourself at risk for an injury. And just keep in mind that success in running is a long-term endeavor. You know, it's not something that's going to come overnight or in a month or two. It's going to take a long time.
Mm-hmm. And that goes against a lot of the mainstream messages out there, you know, do a 5K in 6 weeks or things like that. And, you know, not that those things are bad, but they kind of give a false impression of what successful running is really all about. And just successful, being successful in fitness in general, it's a long-haul endeavor. It's not something you can achieve overnight results with. And
right.
A lot of times,
yeah, it could be really, it could be misleading sometimes. You know, when you hear 4 secrets to your fastest marathon in 8 weeks, and you're like, well, that's just a bad article. Why would someone read that? You know, I that's like the training porn that I was talking about, where people are like, oh God, I have to read that article. And then they read it and they don't actually have anything useful that they can use in their own training. It's the same. It's like the, you know, everyone wants, you know, investment advice that's going to make them rich overnight or something totally ridiculous like that. It's the same idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's the truth, and it's refreshing to hear that, because it's not often spoken. And it's, you know, there's these massive fitness and health companies out there promoting these quick fix solutions, and they just don't work. And, you know, you and I and some of our colleagues know the truth, because we've been there and back again, and we know they don't work, and they often cause problems. So it's good to hear that, you know, you have a long-term perspective, because that's what people need to hear, and I think it's what people want to hear, because it's what we all really know to be true. And I guess I can brag
not
on
the sexy answer.
What's that?
I said it's not the sexy answer. It's not what gets people excited.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to sell. It's hard to market it. People don't want that. And I think that just the fact that you know, this is the message that you're teaching, and that I teach with my fitness readers, I think it really, if I can brag on them, really speaks to a more mature, intelligent audience who are willing to listen to the truth about running or about fitness. So very good. Now, what advice would you give to someone who wants to work towards a really high standard of fitness and running performance, and really, you know, go above and beyond and achieve extraordinary success over the long term? How would you point them in the right direction?
Well, first, they should read a running website called strengthrunning.com. That's the number one thing.
Uh-huh.
Now, seriously, I mean, I would actually give the same answer to, you know, what I would go back in time and tell myself, you know, 15 years ago, is that you need to be patient. You're not going to achieve success overnight, and, you know, maybe to go a little bit beyond that, it's going to take an extraordinarily high amount of work to be able to really reach your potential. And if you're looking for shortcuts, if you want to, you know, improve by an hour in the marathon in the next 4 months, you really need to be honest with yourself and say, it's not going to happen. You know, you need to put in the work. There are no shortcuts. There are no magic workouts or secret training plans that exist out there. You know, there are, you know, best practices and good ways of structuring your training that may give you better results, but there's nothing that's going to make you, you know, stand out and achieve well above and beyond what is a normal progression of achievement. So be patient and don't take any shortcuts, because they almost always end in injury and disappointment.
Mm-hmm. Not really good advice. All right, we've got a few questions to wrap up here. I'd just like you to talk a little bit about what your vision is for strength running, you know, the website, the community, you know, the mission. You know, what are you trying to accomplish, you know, in general, on a national or global level or just in the website community? Just talk about your vision for strength running.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know if I've ever thought about, you know, my ultimate vision for the site and the business. I'm too busy coaching. but, you know, I guess, you know, I would love to be able to help as many runners as possible. And, you know, as things have really picked up in 2012 and so far in this year in 2013, I've gotten so much feedback from runners who are just telling me, wow, I haven't had an injury in a year because you wrote a training plan for me and I'm feeling so good. Or, you know, I'm running faster than ever now. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that keeps me going and it keeps me motivated and, you know, more inspired than ever to keep going with the strength running community. And it's just really humbling to be a part of it. You know, just the progress and the results really speak for themselves. And, you know, that's where I guess I would like to bring it, is just to bring even more success to more runners. And I think, you know, I'm doing a little bit more with that. You know, like I've contributed to Runner's World several times, and, you know, I write for active.com. And so there are ways that I'm reaching more and more people, and that's great. But, you know, my ultimate vision is just to impact positively the lives of runners. And when I hear those success stories, that's when I know that I'm succeeding, and that's what really makes it gratifying and worthwhile to me.
Awesome. Yeah, very cool. That's the best way to put it. Very cool. Now, I mentioned in the intro that you have your book, and you know, for anybody who's listening and, you know, wants to learn more about you and your work, could you just tell them a little bit about your book and why somebody might want to pick up a copy of that?
Yeah, sure. So the book is called 101 Simple Ways to Be a Better Runner. And it was, I initially wrote it because I went to the bookstore one day and I was looking around for a running book that kind of distilled all of the current best training practices into really actionable pieces of advice. And so, you know, I wanted actionable advice, actionable coaching advice. And, you know, I couldn't find it. There was no book out there that didn't get lost in kind of like the minutiae and details of, you know, VO2 max and lactate threshold and all the really nerdy, you know, biological and physiological components of running, which are really interesting to me. And I really love that stuff. But, you know, I just wanted to read, okay, if I was talking to a coach, what would be, you know, if he was just like, okay, what's your best piece of advice about running in general? And then if he had to do that 101 different times. So that's what I was really looking for, and I didn't find it. I was like, all right, screw it, I'm going to write it. So that's what I did. I sat down and I made up a list of all these different things that I thought runners should know. And, you know, they span the spectrum of diet and racing and pacing and injury prevention and just general training and how to structure workouts and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's available on the Kindle, on Amazon, and, you know, it's not a long read. That was not my goal. I didn't want to get, you know, like I said, lost in the details of all the background information. So, you know, if you're looking for actionable, which I think I've said 1,000 times in this interview, actionable training advice that is going to help impact your training immediately, then, you know, maybe my book is something that you'd be interested in.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are interested in that because, you know, most of us these days are so busy and stressed out and just don't have much time. We kind of like the more abbreviated, actionable things. And I'd say, you know, if somebody's thinking about getting it, even if you read all 101 suggestions and you only get one or two, it's probably going to be worth it, you know, where it's like, you know, that one thing made a direct impact on improving my health, my fitness, my running, et cetera. So I'd encourage anybody to check it out. I haven't bought it yet. I'll probably go buy a copy when we're done because I'm definitely interested. And so cool. Now, I know your website
is... runner. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to mention, I had one runner call it a handbook of running, and it was something that they were referring back to throughout their training for a marathon, and they found it really helpful that they could go to whatever chapter, you know, they were interested in, whether it's injury prevention or, like, you know, pacing and race strategy, and then they could see, okay, I'm really interested in injury prevention right now because I'm running a lot. Let's see what the book says. And then, you know, they can read through the entire chapter in, like, 15 minutes and just see what really pertains to them. And, you know, they can always go back to whatever chapter that they're most interested in at that time. And that's something that really struck with me. It's like, oh, yeah, you can always go back to it. And because it's so short and actionable, it's something that can be really, really useful time and time again. So, yeah, for $3, hey, I think it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll check it out. And I know, you know, we've mentioned your website is strengthrunning.com, so that's probably the best place, I would assume, for, you know, listeners to check you out. Is that correct?
Yep, that's my home base.
Okay. And you've got an email newsletter, which has been great. I've been subscribed for at least a few weeks now, and really good stuff in the newsletter, and he's got a runner's gear bag, I think you call it, with a lot of resources for runners. So anybody who's listening to this, I really encourage you to go check out the Strength Running website, check out the book, and sign up for the newsletter if you want to follow what Jason's doing and become a stronger, healthier runner today and in the future. So, Jason, thanks a ton for doing this interview today. I really enjoyed it. I felt like we covered a lot of really good stuff, and you're really a down-to-earth guy who's got some very great advice for runners and, you know, fitness trainees in general. So thanks a lot for being here today.
Yeah, thanks, John. I've enjoyed it, too. Thanks for having me on.